I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for WABE comes from 100 Miles, a nonprofit committed to preserving Georgia's 100-mile coast. Protecting this critical coastal ecosystem takes all of us. Watch the stories of the innovators and future leaders who help keep our coast flowing at OurGeorgiaCoast.org.
For Friday, July 16th, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Emil Moffitt. An anti-violence advisory council has recommended Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms create an Office of Violence Reduction to help address the current crime wave. The office would be dedicated to crime prevention and would lead and coordinate the city's initiatives. The council recommended the city focus on steps to reduce violent crime, including hiring 250 additional police officers, focusing on repeat offenders and expanding public awareness. Bottoms created the 13-member council in May. It includes former acting U.S. Attorney General Sally Yates. Meanwhile, Atlantans are voicing their frustrations about the city's plans for a new police training academy. Aaron Tremper reports.
The Atlanta Police Foundation hosted the first of two virtual public forums about leasing 150 acres in southwest DeKalb County for a new facility. Critics at the forum said the public haven't had enough say in where the training academy will be built. Marshall Freeman is the Atlanta Police Foundation's chief operating officer.
We can't go back and undo what was done at this time, and so I think the only plan that we have here is to move forward.
The public wasn't allowed to speak during the session. Instead, foundation officials read their questions. Attendees showed their disapproval on Zoom by holding up written messages to their webcams. Aaron Tremper, WABE News.
Georgia is one of the top 10 states for solar installations. That's according to recent rankings from the Solar Energy Industries Association. Mark Lanneman has that story.
Solar continues to grow in Georgia. The Solar Energy Industries Association says the state was number 7 in 2020. Georgia Power is the biggest utility in the state. Regulators recently signed off on the company adding more solar energy to its portfolio. And the company says in the next few years, solar will account for about a fifth of its energy supply. Most of Georgia's solar power comes from large solar farms, rather than from individual rooftop installations. But a recent program from Georgia Power to make rooftop solar more cost-effective became so popular, it maxed out its participants early. Mark Lanneman, WABE News.
A new film by Ken Burns, Sarah Burns, and Dave McMahon explores the life and career of the boxing legend Muhammad Ali. One of the indelible images of Ali late in his life happened here in Atlanta 25 years ago this month when he lit the flame at the start of the 1996 Olympic Games. Filmmaker Ken Burns joins us now. Thanks for being here, Ken.
Thanks, Emil, for having me.
The film comes out in September, but there's a chance on Monday night for people to get a preview and hear a virtual discussion. Tell us a little bit about Monday night.
PBS and I have been working with The Undefeated, the ESPN project, for a series of sort of conversations. And on Monday night, the 25th anniversary exactly of Ali lighting the torch, we're going to talk about Ali on the world stage with senior writer for ESPN and The Undefeated, Lene O'Neill, and media studies professor Todd Boyd, and Olympic medalist Janet Evans, who was, of course, the person everyone expected to light the torch. And surprise, 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 Muhammad Ali came out shaking from the Parkinson's that had overtaken his life so fully. And we're just trying to put Muhammad Ali in the context of this world figure. It's really, it's been a while where we've had somebody as popular as he is, as beloved as he is around the world. And that moment, I think that's the moment when all of the stuff fell away.
We know that Ali was exiled from boxing for some 3.5 years after he refused induction into the military. But his first fight back is actually in Atlanta. How did that fight come to be?
Sure. So he's got this couple big swords of Damocles hanging over him. His boxing license has been stripped by all the states, and his title is not recognized by the various boxing organizations, the WPA, the W whatever. And he's also been convicted by a federal jury and given by the judge the maximum sentence of 5 years in jail, $10,000 fine. But there's a state senator in Georgia representing Atlanta, an African-American, Leroy Johnson, who says, there's nothing in the books that says he can't fight here. Let's have him fight in Atlanta. And of course, it's polarizing. Governor Lester Maddox at the time doesn't want it to happen, but it does happen. There's some exhibition sparring matches at Morehouse, and it's intended, nothing happens. And so he fights Jerry Quarry, and he defeats him. It's a tough fight. And he'll have another fight before he's given a chance to sort of go back and try to reclaim his title in earnest, which has been stripped from him. So Atlanta is centered to so many things. It's centered to a new configuration of what the South might mean. It's centered on his career by giving him an opportunity. He's becoming a kind of ecumenical figure in a wonderful way, and that's Atlanta's fault in a good way. And then, of course, we're now talking that we're 25 years out from the moment where, as a secret, Dick Ebersol, the president of NBC Sports, says, let's get that nobody wants it to happen. And then he convinces them, and Ali, it's just kept a secret, and Janet runs around the track and runs up to light the flame, and out comes this, you know, figure that had been such a lightning rod for so many positive and negative things, and there he is, shaking and barely able to hold the torch, and muted by this cruel and punishing disease, and yet it's one of the most moving moments in all of sports, all in Atlanta.
Yeah. And Ali's life intersects at times with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The two men differed in their approach to equality and justice. What did you discover about that relationship?
Just one of my favorite things in all of the four episodes in 8 hours is Dr. King is in Louisville, and he meets privately with Muhammad Ali. I've never seen, and I defy you to find a place where you've seen Martin Luther King crack up. So they come out for the press conference afterwards, and they're like, what did you guys talk about? He says, it's just like Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson and Brezhnev talking, you know? And King just cracks up. He says, you know, you get two black people together, and you're suddenly worried that, oh, we differ about many things. They're agreeing on their anti-war stance, a stance that he has taken at the greatest possible risk. And he even says it. He's a kid. He's a 20-something. And he's saying, if they put me in front of a firing squad, a machine gun, I would not change my mind, because it's based on sincere religious beliefs.
All right, Ken, we appreciate your time. Looking forward to the conversation on Monday night and the film in September. Thank you so much for doing this.
My pleasure. Just if you want to come to the conversation, pbs.org/Ali Events. We'd love to see you there.
Saturday marks 1 year since the death of U.S. Congressman John Lewis. Lewis died at the age of 80 from pancreatic cancer just hours after the passing of another Atlanta civil rights icon, the Reverend C.T. Vivian. Today, WABE's Closer Look revisited conversations from 1 year ago with those who knew Lewis personally. Zernona Clayton is a journalist and fellow civil rights pioneer.
John Lewis, I saw him ready for duty, bravely weathering the storm, trying to decide what's next, getting marching orders from Martin Luther King.
You can hear more reflections of Lewis's life and legacy at WABE.org. That's it for The Brief. You can find more local news, as we mentioned, at WABE.org. Our producer is Lily Oppenheimer. Our editor is Martha Dalton. In for Jim Burris, I'm Emil Moffitt. Thanks for listening.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Local, state, national politics. WABE and NPR have the coverage you need. I'm Jim Burris, host of WABE's All Things Considered. Whether it's on the air at 90.1, streaming online, or connecting through our mobile app, WABE keeps you on top of election 2024 in what's sure to be a pivotal year in politics. And for candidates and ballot information, visit our election hub at wabe.org/election2024.